Welcome back to Dave's Gone By and Dave's Gone Cultural with my very special guest, Jeff Goodman. He's on Manhattan Cable Television, co-host of Two on the Isle, which is a theater review show in the Siskel and Ebert tradition, the way they do movies. He and Charlie Gross do shows, and we spoke to Charlie a couple of weeks ago on the program and talked about some of the shows that are on and off Broadway, and we're going to do the same with Jeff. So first, I want to welcome him. Hello, Jeff.
Hello. Nice to be here, Dave.
And you're kind of familiar with Merrick, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm kind of a homegrown product of Merrick.
Really? Literally born here, or...?
Well, actually, I grew up here. My house was a swamp before we moved in.
Well,
I lived on landfill.
It's actually worse now, which is the scary part.
No, my high school's sinking.
Is it really?
Yeah, Kennedy High School in Belmore sinks about half inch a year, I think. Pretty soon it's going to be underwater.
And the kids are actually up to their knees daily as
right.
They slog through assembly.
Well, Amy Fisher did go there, yeah.
Well, how long have you been a critic?
I've been a critic since 1980, so that would be 22 years.
Oh, my gosh. Do you remember the first show you reviewed?
I'll never forget it. The first show I ever saw, I was invited to Pirates of Penzance in the park, opening night. And at which point, the press agent said, oh, afterwards, there's a party, so come on in. And I got on, and there was a reception line, and it was Joe Papp, Ed Koch, and that Kennedy woman.
I mean, Jackie O?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, I didn't know what to say to her. That, now I want, you know, can I have a couple million would have been a good thing to say.
Well, no, that new heiress you should talk to about that.
Oh, well, did I tell you that I love that, the Onassis chick?
You love her? You're
what's
gay,
her,
dude. What
what's
mean
her
you
name?
Her?
What's her name?
I don't know. I really don't remember.
I forgot. Oh, my God, I have to go look it up and
she's
then propose
like 18,
to her.
She's only 18, dude. She's like, you know, half your age anyway.
But that's okay. She likes older men. She's dating a married man now.
Oh, is she really?
Mm-hmm.
This is going on
she's
the
buying
air.
Him. I know.
All right.
That's what I heard this on Entertainment Tonight, so I know it's true.
Okay. WGBB cannot be held responsible for any of this. Nor can I. Can't be held responsible for our views about the theater, which is what we really should
be. But Charlie
talking.
Can be held responsible for my
okay,
feelings.
Yes, Charlie can. Charlie Gross is a great guy, by the way. And how long has Two on the Isle been on the air?
That you have to ask Charlie. I think it's been about 12, 13
really?
Years.
Yeah, it has been more than a decade. On Manhattan Cable Television Channel...
I think 57.
You think? Oh,
well,
God.
I'm one of the few people, besides WGBB, I'm the other house on Long Island with an antenna.
Well, but it's also streaming on the web, so people who aren't
right.
in Manhattan can now watch it on web, and do you know what the URL is?
I think it's MNN.com or something.
Because it's Manhattan Neighborhood Network.
Right.
So if you go to Google and do Manhattan Neighborhood Network and get to that website,
right.
you'll be able to
actually,
find
if you
it.
Look up my name, I was a little vain and I did look up my name once. And
you Googled yourself.
I came up, but usually it comes up with John Goodman before you get to Jeff Goodman.
Well, yeah. Well, you do quotes, you know. Quote Jeff Goodman, unquote,
oh,
and that keeps the name together.
Because what happened is John Goodman and Jeff Bridges did a movie together.
Yeah.
Gotcha. They kind of kept on coming.
Do the quote thing, you'll find it very effective. Anyway!
Oh, I'm sorry.
Half the segment's over. We haven't talked about one show. No, but seriously, let's get into it. What is the most recent show that you have been to?
Well, last night I went to see Les Mis because I felt I'd miss it if I didn't. See it again, and I saw it, and I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. It's moving on, as it were."
Well, yeah. Actually, they re-extended again. It was going to close in the middle of March, and it's been selling well, so they've now extended Les Mis till May 18th.
Oh, sure. Wait till after I buy the ticket, and then say they're extending it.
Well, how many times have you seen Les Mis?
This was my fourth time.
And I
still liked it. I think it's really, really kept up well. It seemed to go a little faster, and you mentioned to me that they cut out 15 minutes or something.
Yeah, this was about 2 years ago. I think it had to do with paying the unions overtime because the
right.
show ran past 11 o'clock. It was about 3 hours and 12 minutes, and it took forever for Jean Valjean to die. You know, it was like 11:05, and he's still singing.
You know what? You're right. His death was a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Right. It was. I think it was that. It may just be that scene.
But it was one of those. I haven't seen the show since they've cut it. But I've heard that it's one of those things that they did for money. But it ended up improving the show. That kind of dragged in the last half hour.
I don't know if it improved it, but it's. I'll tell you, I was very surprised. It starts on the dot at 8. It's a 15-minute exactly intermission. The lights came down. Half the people weren't in their seats, but those lights came down.
Right. And it's still a great show. I mean,
it is
a wonderful.
It's
piece.
Absolutely fabulous. I mean, it's still a very moving piece. And if people are out there who haven't seen it, why did you wait so long?
Yeah.
But
And you have a few more weeks.
You really have to go see it. I mean, because those high school productions. Also, they it's still out in high schools now. You know, they released it last year.
I didn't realize
high school,
that.
And they cut it.
They
really cut it till about like 2 hours or something.
He doesn't even steal the bread anymore. He's already in prison.
Well, he doesn't steal
the bread. No, that's right. He doesn't steal it. Yeah, yeah.
But Fantine just passes away in her sleep. You know, she doesn't come out and sing. I don't know.
Well, that way they get the really younger, like, you know, from junior high school to do it, so they don't have to actually act. They just die and sleep. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, I think the word whores might be removed from that. Can you imagine? Oh, I'm so proud of my daughter. She's in Les Mis. Really, what she's playing? Oh, a whore. She's playing a French whore.
Well, you know, just grooming them for college. But anyway, what else? I don't know what that means. What else have you seen? Let's talk about some of the stuff that's recent and still playing, such as, what did you think of Moving Out, the Billy Joel thing?
Not much. I thought it was actually two different musicals. There was actually one dance piece and one musical, and I give all the credit in the world to that guy who sings the Billy Joel songs and plays the
piano. I don't remember his name, yeah. But
he was great. Well, not only does he sing it and play it, he's going in three different dimensions. He's like on this movie. He's like on the Starlight Express. You remember that?
It goes
X, Y, and Z axis, you know? It's everywhere. And he's moving, and then people are dancing that make no sense beneath him.
Well, what makes no sense?
With an old car, and so there's no storyline.
That was my problem. I think the first half hour is just these people dating each other again and again. They're doing all these dances that are making ritual dances repetitively, and I'm like, okay, get on with it.
But luckily one of them dies in the Vietnam War.
Well, that gets kind of interesting, didn't you think, or not?
No.
Really?
I must tell you that I liked it because I liked the music, but by the end of I saw it on a Friday night, strangely enough, and halfway through the second act, I was trying to think of what I had to do over the weekend.
Oh, that's a bad sign.
I really did start to just go.
So that's what happens to Billy Joel when he gets in a car. But I don't know what that means. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
What about, now here's something
now,
that
you can't write to Charlie about.
Okay.
I didn't say that.
Okay. Here's a show I did not like at all, and you seem to love. Madea with Fiona Shaw. It was at Brooklyn Academy of Music. They moved it to Broadway for a limited run. You loved it. Why?
I thought it was a fascinating Madea. It was the first time I've seen Madea without being bored to tears. I mean, it told the story. It was a very feminized version.
Well,
and I love the Greek chorus of women.
Really? Oh, I thought they couldn't act. I thought they were just shrieking half the time.
Oh no, I thought that was great. I thought Jason was actually portrayed. I think he was portrayed really well. And also, she gave a little bit more personality to Madea. Rather than being all angry, you kind of really learned her motivation, because everyone knows she kills the kids.
Yeah, no, but in Madea, you do get her reasons, no matter what production.
I know, but I never got it from, like, Diana Rigg was the last person to do it on Broadway.
That was another strange staging. I like that one better, though.
A lot of people say that, but I love this one. I think Fiona Shaw should really be up for a Tony for this. I thought she did an amazing job.
You know, she is an amazing actress. She's an extraordinary technical actress. And yet, I could see her going over every single line in Madea and figuring out what movement to put with it. It seemed almost mechanical. She's such a great actress I was like, I'm going to saw my arm on this line, I'm going to cross on here. And it was all done technically beautifully, but I watched the actress acting rather than this.
Really?
Yeah, this thing. And I just thought the whole modernization of it all, and that the modern, almost hospital-like set and the loud noises.
I got it as an office building with those glass, all that glass.
Yeah, what's the point?
I don't know. Well, they put a pool there. They want to be a little more metamorphosisical.
Oh, if it was like what did you think of Metamorphosis?
I thought it was okay. I thought Metamorphosis could have been done better, strangely enough.
Oh,
and
wow.
I know you loved Metamorphosis.
I love that show. And please, everybody, it's closing soon. Please see it at Circle
in
the Square.
It's closing mid-February, I believe.
Probably 2 weeks from now. So if you haven't, I am begging you to see that beautiful show. But you were nonplussed about it,
I thought it was okay. I mean, I thought it was something that needed to be done. I think it's one of those things you still say, wow, why didn't anyone do that before? Because I think it was a good show. You did learn stuff from it, and it was entertaining. But I thought it could have been done a little bit better.
Really?
And they need a little bit deeper pool.
All right.
I was all upset when no one jumped in. Maybe it was a performance I saw, but they didn't really use the pool that much. It was mostly acting on the edges, and they didn't jump in and splash around.
Well, it's not Sondheim's The Frogs. I mean, there was stuff to be done around the pool, and then when they needed to go in the water,
but if you're
going
into the pool, use it.
They did. They used it constantly. People were constantly getting wet, going in, lying on rafts. Oh, I don't see it again before it closes, please.
I'm not going to be around.
Huh?
I leave for Thailand in a couple of days.
Oh, right. Okay, that's right. You're the world traveler. I want to actually talk with you about that on a different segment, because you've already been to Thailand once and had some rather amazing experiences there.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're going back to there and Vietnam, is it?
Yes.
Cool. Another segment, but I want to finish up with a couple of theater stuff on this one.
Great.
Imaginary Friends.
Loved it. We're like becoming a Siskel and Ebert here, because I loved it, and you?
I liked it.
Oh.
I got bored with it after a while, though.
Really? I loved it. I thought, I sort of knew the story.
What is the story?
The story is Mary McCarthy and, how come I never remember this, Lillian Hellman are not friends at all. They're actually contemporaries.
And they barely met each other at all in their lifetime.
But Lillian Hellman always went, in her writing, had this way of bending the truth a little bit. And Mary McCarthy was a very truthful writer. She did war stories, and she did more actual events, and she didn't believe in bending the truth. And one day on Dick Cavett's show, Mary McCarthy had Dick Cavett ask her a question if there was any of her contemporaries that weren't, up to snuff, as it were. And she said, well, yes, it's Lillian Hellman. Lillian Hellman would be that. And he asked her why, and she said, well, every word that comes out of her mouth is a lie, including and thee.
Right. And that sensational line.
That was unbelievable. And then, of course, Lillian Hellman sued her, which would have been great, because it would have come to the court, but Lillian Hellman died.
Oh, is that what? Okay.
Oh, yeah, Lillian Hellman died.
And what's interesting, although it's a boring scene, but it's kind of cool in the show, is you see McCarthy working on that line and puzzling. How should I put it?
Oh,
and or but? No, and
well,
and
then
the,
She said it before. The first time she said it was in a newspaper article. She was quoted as and but. And then she was working it in her mind to, how could I make it sound even better?
Yeah. My problem with Imaginary Friends is just that, especially in the last half hour, they seem to be wandering around looking for an ending. It knows it's undramatic because they get a special surprise person to testify there, and she's anticlimactic, and just because she says she's anticlimactic doesn't make it dramatic. So you've got that a play acknowledging that it has a problem, but that doesn't take away that it's
a
problem.
But I thought this play was not so much building to a climax, but the progression and what would have happened had they had a trial. And the fact is that the fact that they made it anticlimactic was a climax because of the fact that they're saying that, well, the best thing about the whole thing is that Lillian Hellman died, which made it so unusual.
I don't think it was the best thing about for her.
Well, I don't think she appreciated it as much as... No, but you know what I'm saying? That if there's a very big lawsuit and someone dies, well, if it drops, it's like a story that ends sentence that ends, mid-word.
Yeah, and I don't want to end mid-word on that, first of all, without saying that Cherry Jones is just amazing again.
And Swoozie Kurt.
And Swoozie Kurt. Harry Groener. He does about 12 different roles.
He plays all the men in their life.
Yeah. I mean, there are some other actors in there who do little, but he
and
basically
also the fact that it's not a musical, but it's truly a play with music. It's truly different.
Yeah, but I'm not sure it knows what it wants to be. That is another problem with it. It's kind of a hybrid thing.
Well, I don't think it could have been a musical, because I don't think it would have been a successful musical. But I think without the music, it wouldn't have been as powerful. To me, I mean, like that A Truth, Fact and Fiction number.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. The little soft shoe about the two people.
I just wonder if they didn't vaudevillize it and really barrel through it in an hour 45 minutes instead of expanding it into this hybrid thing that took 2.5 hours, if it really would have hit home a lot more.
No. I wouldn't have wanted to see a play about that. I wanted to be entertained, and I was glad we went back, even though a lot of people didn't like when they went back to their youth.
Mm.
But I thought it all worked. It worked really well for me. I think it's a good show to see.
I'm going to move on quickly to one or two other things.
Okay.
La Boheme?
La Boheme, no matter what, it's still opera. I don't get it. It's not that it wasn't a good production, but I think what it is, and it's just me, even though they had all the subtitles, I'm like hooked up on the wording. So I like them waiting for the next subtitle, and I don't watch the action, which is kind of weird.
Well, the subtitles, they were kind of interesting. They funkified them a bit.
They groovified
slang and weird fonts for the things. It was the only thing I really objected to. The rest I liked. La Boheme is a lovely piece.
And what I really enjoyed, though, was Baz Luhrmann did give us a midget in Act 2.
Yes, a midget. And I thought the set design in Act 2 was gorgeous.
Oh, wasn't that great? His wife did the set design, which is terrific.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I thought all the set, the L'Amour set was great. I thought, even the home, their home.
The garret, yeah.
Yeah.
One last show that I want to do off Broadway, because I think we both liked it a lot, and I want to give a plug to it, basically, is a revival of a London play called Comedians.
Yes,
by Trevor Griffiths.
Trevor Griffiths, whatever happened to him after that?
He probably had plays done every year in London and they never crossed the water.
I really don't think he wrote a lot. Someone else wrote a law play, and he was a lawyer. Oh, no, Elephant Man, Bernard Pomerantz. I don't think he wrote anything after Elephant Man.
Interesting.
But Comedians is such a brilliant...
It's a good play.
It's a play. It's not a comedy, really, although it has comic moments. Some of them are not very funny.
Yeah, they're not supposed to be.
Right. But I saw it originally in 1977 at the Music Box, and
with Jonathan Pryce as the young comic coming up.
Yes.
Who was the character now played by Jim Dale, the teacher?
I cannot remember who played that, but also in the cast was a young John Lithgow.
Wow,
he played the one of the brothers.
Mm-hmm.
He played the brother.
One of the comedian brothers.
But and it was amazing. I mean, and Jonathan Pryce, even though Raul Esparza is wonderful in this.
He is, yeah.
Jonathan Pryce was six times better.
Oh, my gosh, really?
When he did the last thing, first of all, his puppets, because he ends up doing an act with puppets, and his puppets were really just smaller ventriloquist dummies.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened, you just were mesmerized by what was going on. And a little
frightened, I hope.
Yes. Oh, you were scraping chins off the floor. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And this, although it was good, I love William Duell. I'm so glad to see him back.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the first Broadway show I ever saw as playing an old dying man in 1776.
Yeah.
And he's back playing. I've never seen him play young.
Yeah, I couldn't understand what he was saying when he spoke, but when he mutters and looks and wipes the blackboard.
Oh, he just is always
wonderful.
Complaining. He's a total janitor who just hates everybody. Just get out of school and let him clean the blackboard.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much longer Comedians is running. Might be only another couple of weeks, or it might be an open run, but.
No, I think it's limited.
Yeah.
So go down to, it's on Theater Row, it's 42nd Street, it's a Samuel Beckett?
It's in the Beckett Theater, which is now part of this wonderful theater complex, with all these new little theaters in it. God bless them for doing this. And God bless you, Jeff, for making this segment fly by so fast.
Thank you.
Enjoy your time in Thailand.
Thank you.
And thank you for giving us this wonderful time on Dave's Gone By.